Senate will please come to order and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger,
here.
Montes Anderson, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Bonamici. Our invocation today is from Tribal Councilman Steve Bob of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde in Grand Ronde.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Council, all of our members of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde and the people of Grand Ronde, I thank you for the honor and the opportunity to give the opening prayer on the floor of the Senate today. Heavenly Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, we ask for your presence here with us today as we give thanks for another beautiful day on this earth. As Native Americans, we believe that we are of one family, as is all the people of the world, Lord, blessed to be a member of your family. We ask you to always help us to do your will, and that is to always treat others as we would like to be treated, and to seek out and appreciate the good that is in everyone. We give thanks for the small things in life, Lord, the love of family and friends, to be blessed with good health, and to be surrounded by the natural beauty that you give to us each day and at times we take for granted, for the laughter of our children, and for the comfort and caring of our elders. We ask you today to bless our young people and help them to realize how truly precious their lives are, and to bless our elders, for they are our wisdom and our guidance, and to lay your comforting hand on those who today are suffering from illness and addictions, and to watch over and protect our brave men and women who are today in harm's way, fighting for the many freedoms that we enjoy here at home. We'd ask you to bless this meeting and these people as they work together to move the people of this great state into the future in a good way, and to give them the strength and the guidance to help us through these times of great struggle. We realize that each day is a gift from you, Lord, and that we are obligated to make the most of each day, to make someone smile, to lift someone up, and to shower all living things with love. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please extend courtesies to Teddy Kaiser? Teddy is back with us working in my office this session. He was my policy advisor in the 05 session, and it has been a delight to have him back, and we appreciate his interest in our office during this session. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, and welcome back, Ted. Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please extend courtesies to 83 students from Trent Elementary School in my district? That's Pleasant Hill in Lane County.
Thank Absolutely you. Will. You want to raise your hands from Pleasant Hill here? Well, we're going to extend courtesies to you anyway. All right. Well, welcome when they arrive in the Senate. Senator Schrader.
Thank you, Senator and colleagues. This morning I have a group of students from Candy Lane Elementary School. They are fourth and fifth graders, and it includes today Speaker Hunt's daughter, Emily Hunt. We're happy to have them here today to watch us do our business on the floor.
Okay. Where are you folks at? There you are. Okay. Good. Well, welcome to your capital. Thank you for joining us in the Senate. Since we have the daughter of the Speaker, could have chosen the House, but you rightfully chose the best chamber to be in the Senate. So welcome to your Oregon State Capitol. Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have 46 third graders up here in the gallery, in the back of the chamber here, led by Don Ross from Fernwood Elementary School in my district, and I would ask that courtesies be extended.
Fernwood students, welcome to your state capitol. You got a great view up there. Hope you enjoy your day today, and be sure you get your exercise walking up to see the gold man. Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Mr. President, I would like to ask the members of the capital punishment team to stand and be recognized for their contributions over the weekend in the pole pedal paddle, including President Peter Courtney. Mr. President, the pole pedal paddle event this weekend was quite wonderful. And each of the senators that are standing to be recognized made significant contributions to upholding the honor of the Senate in this epic battle, this epic physical contest. I have to tell you that the pole pedal paddle team actually was only 24 minutes off the pace in our category, which for a first outing was really fantastic. The first leg started off with a downhill ski race that Senator Starr did excellently well in. And then we had cross country. Senator Dingfelter did cross country skiing, did an absolutely wonderful job, posted a good time. Then we had the 10K that was run by Senator Haas, did a wonderful job, looked very tired at the end of his 10K. We had a handoff. Jason Atkinson did the cross-country bicycle run, and I think posted a time of 28 minutes for... It was a great time. And finally, then, we had the canoe race that Senator Morse and Senator Telfer engaged in, a grueling part of the competition because they literally had a bathtub. The rest of the competitors had these sleek craft, and I think the thing that they were in looked like it should have had claw legs on the bottom of it. But they did a really good job. And then finally, to bring it home was President Peter Courtney in the sprint, which was a terrible test of strength, bone-on-bone runner, but the bottom line was he served very well and upheld the honor of the Senate. And even Senator Prozonsky participated simply by showing up on the steps in front of the chamber to get his picture in the bend bulletin as a member of the team. But you were all there in spirit. And on your desks is an honorary T-shirt from Capital Punishment. We just think it was a wonderful opportunity. And next year, I think there may be plans to challenge the House. But I will leave that to Senator Telfer for the wrap-up.
Thank you, Senator, and thanks all of you for representing us. And I understand that in the case of Senator Morris, he truly was up a creek without his paddle. Is that correct? Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to continue that courtesy regarding pole pedal paddle. The city of Bend rolled out the red carpet for us. We had newspaper coverage. Everybody in town seemed to know who we were. In fact, if you were wearing your shirt and they saw you, they asked you exactly what you were. So my thanks to my hometown of Bend. They did, in fact, roll out the red carpet for us. And there is an editorial from the Bend Bulletin on your desks so that you can see how they thought we should be teamed up, which is very humorous. And I do believe we need to challenge the House to next year's pole pedal paddle. I think we as a team have already decided how we're going to be number one next year, how we can shave minutes off. So if you're with me, I think we'll challenge the House to a team next year.
Okay, Senator Telfer, just remember the average age of the Senate and the average age of the House. Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to continue on the pole paddle pedal theme, just very briefly, age really doesn't matter because we actually did beat the time of the county team. There was a Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah County team that we did beat them by 10 minutes. And we found out there was a younger lobby team that we beat by 35 minutes. So really proud to be a member of Capital Punishment team. I would like to thank Senator Telfer because this is a logistic nightmare, folks. There are seven legs, so there's six handoffs, and without the coordination that she did and her entire family was the support team, it wouldn't have occurred the way as smoothly as it did. So I would like to express from the whole team our gratitude to Senator Telfer for helping make it happen.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Senator Telfer, for your work in organizing all of this. Further courtesies. Remonstrances. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just want to follow up on the courtesies that we heard today. I got to take the part in the capital punishment as the water boy slash towel boy for the team since I had to cancel my participation. But I do want to thank everyone that did participate. They did a great job over in Bend in representing all of us. And when they said something about a photo, there's a cameo appearance. And so that's why I was able to be included. Thank you.
You did very well. Thank you, Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm not going to talk about the pole pedal paddle. I am going to talk about something important, and that's the issue of our budget. You know, you look at the news this last 3 or 4 days, and there's a lot of news about the budget. A lot of editorials, a lot of op-eds, a lot of news stories. Virtually every one of them, chastise this legislature for not having a more robust savings account, a more robust rainy day fund. Colleagues, I suggest that we don't need kicker reform to build a rainy day fund. We need fiscal discipline. The fiscal discipline is let's save dollars off the top of the budget. 3% makes a lot of sense, I think. Makes a whole lot of sense, in fact. You float that 3% idea in your next town hall, And every one of your constituents will understand that. Every one of them will understand saving 3% off the top. Every one of them. No confusion, no ifs, ands, or buts, no need to reform the kicker law and take that to the voters, which you can't sell to the voters anyway. Every one of them will understand saving first. I suggest we move the 3% savings bill to the Senate floor. Let's get that enacted, send it out to the voters, create a real rainy day fund, robust savings, because the next recession demands it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you. I just need to respond. I would like to say that the Legislative Assembly had that opportunity in 1997 when Speaker Lynn Lundquist proposed the first rainy day fund in this decade. Actually, we're now in the second decade. So we've been there, done that. Couldn't get it done with the majority party, so maybe we'll get it done now. Thank you.
Are there further remonstrances? Messages from the governor.
May 14, 2009, to Senate President. I am directed by the governor to inform you that he has approved and signed the following bill, Senate Bill 217.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am directed by the Speaker to inform you that the House has signed or passed Senate Bills 108, 185, 186, 639, 464, 558, 5528, 233, 367, 5513, 5514, 5527, 94, 141, 188, 65, 81, 167, 389, 238, 251, 98, 625, House Bill 2726, adopted Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, House Resolution 6, House Joint Memorial 11, passed the following Senate bills as amended by the House, Senate Bills 106, 380, 244, concurred in Senate amendments and repassed House Bill 2203, and the Speaker has signed Senate Bills 56, 99, 243, 248, Senate Concurrent Resolution 6, Senate Joint Resolution 30, House Bills 2109, 2198, 2211, 2212, 2234, 2521, 2826, 2871, 3055.
Reports from conference committees, reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 96 was distributed to members May 15, and number 97 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal on the Status Report. So ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions, action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation, introduction and first reading of Senate measures, second reading of Senate measures. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Senator Farrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans request a 15-minute caucus in the Republican caucus room.
Senator Morris, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Before we break, request return to courtesies.
Without objection.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I would like you to recognize Zion Lutheran from Corvallis. Robert Waltz is the leader, and we have 15 students with us today from the fourth grade, and they're in the gallery, Mr. President. If they could acknowledge us with a wave, and your extensive courtesies would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Courtesies are extended to you. Welcome to your Oregon State Capitol on a beautiful day, and hope you enjoy the entire day and have a chance to see all the wonderful things, including State Capitol Park. Okay, we have been requested for a recess, so the Senate will be in recess until 10:50. The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
here.
Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Prezonsky, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of second reading of Senate measures and will resume under third reading of Senate measures, so ordered. Before I go to the third reading of Senate measures, I will call on Senator Johnson. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to request to return to the order of courtesies.
Without objection, we'll return to the order of courtesies. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Colleagues, I'm joined at my desk today by a distinguished Oregonian. George Bell is a retired electrical engineer from the BPA. He serves on the board of the Oregon Community Foundation, Portland Center Stage, the Shakespeare Festival. He and I were colleagues on OPB's board for more years than I think either one of us want to remember. He's here in the Capitol today talking about arts and culture in a very constrained budget environment, but I welcome a very distinguished Oregonian and ask that we extend the courtesies of the Senate to him today.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome. Thank you very much for coming and joining us today and sitting with Senator Johnson. We'll now return to the order of third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 690 relating to personal income tax compliance and prescribing an effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 690A comes to you from your Finance and Revenue Committee with a due pass recommendation. Senate Bill 690 expands the Department of Revenue's tools for tax compliance. It's the product of the Department of Revenue's study on individual taxpayer compliance that was prepared over the interim. Senate Bill 690A allows the Department of Revenue to disclose taxpayer information to local law enforcement and expands the department's authority to disclose taxpayer information to the State Board of Tax Practitioners and the Oregon Board of Accountancy. The bill clarifies that the Oregon Tax Court may impose a penalty in cases of frivolous arguments. The bill also allows the department to report delinquent taxpayers to consumer reporting agencies and provide advance notice to those taxpayers that they are being turned into the Credit Bureau. Affected taxpayers are those who have neglected or refused to pay any tax and have not filed an appeal with the Oregon Tax Court. In other words, taxpayers who are out of compliance. Especially in these times when every dollar of revenue is needed to fund essential services to Oregonians, we need to give our Department of Revenue improved tools to enforce tax compliance, and I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 690A.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I support Senate Bill 690A. I talked to the carrier about this. In Section 7, this deals with reporting to a consumer reporting agency. And because this is a Senate bill, it's going over to the other chamber, and I'm just going to urge that steps be taken to make sure that these provisions are consistent with the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act. It seems it's in the interest of the state to collect the revenue. It seems duplicative to require that the advance notice be given to the taxpayer that their unpaid debt may be reported to a consumer reporting agency. But my concern, Mr. President, is that we make sure that the provisions in this bill are consistent with the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not Senator Burdick. Do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 690. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
No.
George.
No.
Girard.
No.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Prezonsky,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
no.
Telfer,
no.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett,
no.
Winters,
no.
Atkinson, Bates,
aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsitt. Winters. 18 ayes.
Senate Bill 690, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 942, relating to Oregon Climate Corps and appropriating money.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, for years, our government has used volunteers to do very important work, both during wartime and in peacetime. Senate Bill 942 establishes the Oregon Climate Corporation, an organization of volunteers placed throughout Oregon to address climate change by working with citizens, businesses, and non-governmental organizations. Volunteer projects will address energy efficiency, carbon sequestration, environmental education, and reducing carbon footprints. A fund for the Oregon Climate Corps will be established in the state treasury, distinct from the general fund. Volunteer training and placement costs will be paid by the volunteers. The discussion around climate change is an important issue. The establishment of the Oregon Climate Corps can encourage and educate individuals and businesses on how they can reduce their impact on the climate and to reduce Oregon's carbon output as a whole. This program will further Oregon's reputation as a national leader in taking action on addressing environmental issues in a balanced way by citizens in their own communities. This will be implemented through the Oregon State University Extension Service in partnership with Oregon University. The Extension Service works well for this, for they have offices in all 36 counties. I ask for your aye vote on this bill.
Further discussion, Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is one of a continuing list of bills to fix our environmental problem in the state of Oregon. I would submit, Mr. President, that if we stopped all human activity in the state of Oregon, took all the residents of the state of Oregon, flew them to another planet so they had no impact on this planet, the impact on the global environment would be virtually zero, immeasurable. To think that somehow we can do all these things, now we're going to task extension with another program when we have a hard enough time trying to get funding for them to do the critical programs that we need them for. Colleagues, you know, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. What we do in the state of Oregon will not solve the global climate problem. Let's get real before we start passing all these bills that are going to cost taxpayers and ratepayers millions and billions of dollars to potentially solve a problem that is way beyond our scope.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion, Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President, to the bill. Colleagues, I voted no on this bill in committee for several reasons. However, we'll be voting yes today on the floor. There is a federal program in which we anticipate that we can get assistance through that helps with energy conservation and energy issues that are non-global warming types. So I'll be a yes bill today on this vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Verger, do you wish to close?
I do, Mr. President. This program will not cost more money, but what it will do is that it's going to put some of this discussion at the local level. I think climate change has been debatable, but it's an issue that we must address and we must find solutions for. And I believe that people in the local communities want to know what they can do to help our world and the quality of life that we live. And I think it's an excellent idea, and it's a beginning of a discussion. I like the process much better than I like government mandates and government leadership. Let's turn it over to volunteers and the people that are our neighbors and our friends, and let's have this discussion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 942. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli.
No.
George.
Yep.
Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. President Courtney. Excused Carter, Walker, voting no, Farioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Whitsett, 23 ayes.
Senate Bill 942, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Joint Memorial 11, urging President and Congress to ensure that revenues realized from carbon sequestration projects on federal lands are shared with state and county governments. House Bill 2726, relating to nutritional information for consumers and declaring an emergency.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Joint Memorial 20, urging Congress to enact legislation concerning Medicare reimbursement rates. House Bill 5030, relating to Financial Administration of Oregon Medical Board and declaring an emergency. House Bill 5031, relating to Financial Administration of Oregon State Board of Nursing and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2164, relating to tax subtraction for compensation received by a number of armed forces of the United States. House Bill 2168, relating to 911 communications. House Bill 2176, relating to advisory committee that advises Director of Veterans Affairs. House Bill 2210, relating to State Board of Agriculture membership. House Bill 2249, relating to alcoholic beverage service permits. House Bill 2269, relating to extradition. House Bill 2273, relating to enforcement of child support obligation by suspension of privileges. House Bill 2274, relating to referral of support obligations to Department of Revenue. House Bill 2278, relating to judgment and remedies for child support. House Bill 2304, relating to corporate mergers. House Bill 2308, relating to discharge of estate fiduciary from personal liability for inheritance tax and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 2310, relating to modification of protective order under Family Abuse Prevention Act. House Bill 2311, relating to service of legal documents. House Bill 2353, relating to special meetings of shareholders. House Bill 2360, relating to trust. House Bill 2554, relating to definition of vulnerable user of a public way. House Bill 2583, relating to boats. House Bill 2911, relating to disposition of property subject to self-service storage facility liens. House Bill 2953, relating to bidding requirements for public improvement contracts. House Bill 2956, relating to interstate bridges.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2082, relating to conservation districts.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2082A comes to your Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. No revenue, minimal fiscal, came out unanimously. It is a technical update to the Soil and Conservation District's authorizing statutes. A couple of questions were raised because at the bottom of the measure, staff measure summary, it says seeks to reduce costs by limiting public elections. What it does in Section 16, which is consolidation of districts, and in Section 18, which is disillusionment of districts, presently now 25 landowners in a district can request that the district either be dissolved or consolidated. That is being changed to 10% of the electors or 500 voters. Good bill should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2082. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, President Courtney. President Courtney.
Mr. President.
Excuse Carter, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2082, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, House Bill 2085 will be moved to the foot of today's calendar. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2086, relating to administrative dissolution of nonprofit corporations and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, under current Oregon law, a Oregon corporation, including a nonprofit corporation, must file an annual report. And if the filing requirements are met, the corporation, are not met, the corporation may be administratively dissolved by the Secretary of State. Current law allows an administratively dissolved corporation 5 years to request reinstatement, and that reinstatement nullifies the administrative dissolution retroactively as if the dissolution never happened. But corporations that do not seek reinstatement within 5 years cannot be reinstated. And colleagues, recent changes in the federal tax law now require all small nonprofits to file annual tax reports with the Internal Revenue Service beginning in 2009. This has caused more nonprofits to discover that their corporate status was dissolved more than 5 years ago. And as you know, many of these nonprofits are run by volunteers and they have frequent turnover of officers. So these nonprofits have raised concern about the status of tax-exempt donations received by the dissolved 501c3 nonprofit corporations and the legitimacy of receipts issued for those donations. They've also raised concerns about the transfer and control of assets owned by the nonprofits and legal expenses to resolve those issues. This bill will provide the Secretary of State with discretionary authority to waive the 5-year limit. Colleagues, I think this is a very important bill in these times when we are using nonprofit organizations to solicit donations. We are relying on the volunteer work of the people who have stepped up to serve on those boards. So please join me in voting aye on House Bill 2086A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2086. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger. Ferd. Walker. Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Walker. 28 ayes.
House Bill 2086 having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2138 related to continuing care retirement communities.
Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2138 is a bill that updates the statute for continuing care retirement communities, CCRCs, and strengthens consumer protection for individuals who choose to live in a CCRC. This bill came from the House with a 60-0 pass. It passed 60-0 and out of our committee. Unanimously. The bill was introduced as a result of a bill in the 07 session which did not pass, and a work session was put together to iron out some of the difficulties in the bill. What the CCRs do, what the bill does is it strengthens the disclosure requirements, giving clients and consumers more information so they can make an informed decision before entering the residential agreement. It expands the department's ability to revoke a registration of the provider who is not in compliance, and it provides a patient bill of rights. what they do, though, actually is interesting because it provides independent living, assisted living, and nursing facility care. So people who are perfectly healthy and have lots of money can go to one of these places and have an independent living, and as they progress along on their age and need increased facilities and services, it provides that. it's a great facility. This is a good bill, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Need to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
I have ownership in assisted care facilities, I think.
Will be noted for the record. Is there a further discussion? Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2138. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes-Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Prezonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger. Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates.
Is he on the floor? Go on.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Walker. 28 ayes.
House Bill 2138, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2408, relating to commuter rail.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2408 provides a process that convenes transportation experts and rail companies to examine the feasibility of extending the West Side Express Service, also known as WES, commuter rail to the Salem-Keizer area. WES has opened to the public, and its first few months have indicated that there is a true enthusiasm for commuter rail along the I-5 corridor. House Bill 2408 attempts to capture and channel this enthusiasm into collaborative action. The events leading up to the launch of WES happened over a decade of planning, and we fully expect that it will take nearly the same length of time to produce an extension all the way to Salem. But, colleagues, this bill will create the collaborative framework in the interim to bring decision-makers and experts together in a forum to begin the planning for the extension and the economic development we hope it will stimulate. The timeline for the extension will be long-term, so if we want to see an eventual viable alternative to highway commuting between Portland and Salem, it's critical that we begin working this year. Colleagues, this bill has a no expenditure impact, so there's no fiscal impact. It's my understanding, even though, Mr. President, I do not serve on the committee where this bill was heard, that the Department of Transportation will do this study with existing resources. And in your bill, colleagues, it shows all of the entities that will be issued the report, so we'll have a lot of decision makers and affected parties reviewing the report. Colleagues, I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2408. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm voted against the bill in committee, and I'll vote against it here on the floor. Wilsonville is in my district, and Keizer's in my district, and the line runs basically parallel to my district for most of the bulk of the line that they're proposing here. And let me kind of walk through. In the Wilsonville spokesman about a week and a half, they were talking about WES currently. And WES has so far been a dismal failure. According to TriMet, I'm reading from the Wilsonville spokesman, if I could, the fare revenue from WES was $39,500. Operating expenses were $375,000 for the monthly deficit of $336,000. We only had about 570 average riders per day, far below what we ever expected. And this has been disappointing event in Wilsonville along the west side of Portland. The fact is that we have excellent, excellent bus service that currently serves Wilsonville down to Salem. But the real problem is that we only have three buses that go in the morning from Wilsonville down to Salem. What we really need to do is enhance the bus service. My staffer last session rode the bus nearly every day that we didn't share a ride. And the biggest problem was there was not enough buses running back and forth. There wasn't enough space, and the buses were too full. And the fact is that we have a low-cost mass transit solution to this particular corridor without spending all this money to build rail. And the problem is that what we really need is a bill that studies the cost-benefit analysis of doing rail over buses. And the problem is we can't get that kind of thing into this piece of legislation. And I will tell you that the fact is that we have to start looking at the cost-benefit analysis and looking at other mass transit alternatives. And this particular piece of legislation takes us on the wrong path again, away from getting away from effective mass transit for the average Oregonian. And I urge a no vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
Mr. President, colleagues, I have economic interests moving aggregate by rail on this line and would have potential adverse impacts. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill, I would like to add my opposition to this bill as well. Most of mass transit, especially rail, are paid for by an employment tax countywide. I have rural Marion County. I have clear up to Marion Forks and starting at State, and they would not make use of the light rail, and yet they'd be stuck paying for it. That's reason number one. Reason number two, to follow up on what Senator George said, we need to do a cost-benefit analysis here. The cost of this light rail is off the graft. It is just really, really expensive. Going by bus is cost-efficient. Cascade Policy Institute has looked into the matter. They wanted an amendment to the bill that would ask for a cost-benefit analysis. That was denied. So I feel very, very strongly that we just can't go in with our eyes shut to the fact that there is a better cost alternative, and that would be a busing system for our transportation. I would encourage you to be a no. This is a waste of our dollars.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to oppose this bill this morning, but I just want to make it real clear. We're not talking this particular rail line is not light rail. This is using existing freight rail lines. We're putting passenger rail on freight rail lines. We're not building a new system. I just want to make it real clear. This is not light rail where you spend $200 million a mile to complete and total waste of money. This particular rail line may or may not be one that's worth investigating, but I would agree with the senator from Sherwood that we ought to look at alternatives, particularly as it relates to moving people up and down the I-5 corridor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. The West Side Economic Express is a project that I was heavily involved in during my years on the Metro Council as head of JPAC. It's been my analysis that this nation has been poorly served in terms of our commitment to rail. Compared to Europe, compared to Japan, we try to rely on highways and automobiles to get around, and the highways get clogged. Now you say, well, buses are cheaper. Buses have to go in mixed traffic with automobiles, and when the highways clog, buses go just as slow as the cars. Westside Economic Express is a new type of heavy rail, commuter rail, similar to what they have on the East Coast. It's just opened for a few months, so it's a little experimental at this stage. But it seems to me that having that connection on into Salem on a very low, underutilized old rail line makes sense. It's much cheaper than building light rail or than building any other kind of commuter rail where you have to buy right-of-way. The right-of-way is already there. The line already exists. This would allow people from Salem by rail to connect to any place in the greater Portland metro area and soon to be able to connect even across into Vancouver when that new bridge is built with light rail. It allows, and one thing I insisted on when I was involved in the planning for this, is that it connect to the Beaverton Transit Station. The original plan had it about a half mile short. By connecting to the Beaverton Transit Station, it means that people using that line, now from Wilsonville, someday from Salem, will be able to connect then into Hillsboro, to Nike, or downtown into Portland, or out to Gresham, or to Expo, and ultimately across the river into Vancouver. Let's think ahead, folks. We need to spend more time thinking and committing to rail if we're going to solve the transportation problems that this nation faces.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to speak to the system that we have in Lane County, which is a fixed bus service, an expanded bus service that runs along its own path, which is problematic when it comes to taking out trees and parts of businesses and so on. But once it's set up within that area, it's going to be, along with the residential commuter routes, I think it's going to be an ideal system. I definitely agree with the former speaker that when we're looking at some of the long distances, but I think that we need to do studies to figure out which system is best for a particular area. That's the point that I'm making. And for Lane County, the Eugene-Springfield metro area, I think the system that we're putting in is the best system. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
Just briefly, Mr. President. Thank you, colleagues. I believe that the statements that were made in opposition are actually statements in support of this bill, because, colleagues, this bill is about a report, and it's about looking at the capacity, availability, and efficiency of rail transportation. And if so, if problems are identified, those will be reported in the report, and, colleagues, it does allow that any person who receives a report may submit a response. So, Mr. President, I submit that it's important to do this report so we can address the issue and to begin working on rail transportation if, in fact, that is something that's indicated. So thank you, Mr. President. I urge an aye vote on House Bill 2408A. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Question now rises. Third reading, final passage of House Bill 2408. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass, once or aye, names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters. 17 ayes.
House Bill 2408, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2462, relating to reporting of pesticide use for veterinary purposes.
Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. This is a very simple bill. And what this bill is, it provides that veterinarians or veterinary technicians that are acting within the scope of their veterinarian license, they are not subject to pesticide use reporting system. There was a technicality in the law, and believe it or not, this needed to be fixed, and that's what this bill, HB 2462, does. I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2462. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2462, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2509, relating to health, education, and declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2509 is an important update to our laws governing the teaching of human sexuality in our public schools. The bill is intended to clarify the roles and responsibilities of school districts and charter schools to provide comprehensive, age-appropriate, abstinence-based human sexuality education to Oregon students. This bill comes from your Committee on Education and General Government on a 5-0 vote. House Bill 2509 updates the statutes by incorporating more contemporary language. It ensures that all course material is medically accurate and to reflect the positive tone of the new state youth sexual health plan. Colleagues, nothing in this bill constitutes a new mandate on school districts. I want to repeat that. Nothing constitutes a new or unfunded mandate. There are no new reporting requirements. Schools are already required to offer comprehensive human sexuality education. House Bill 2509 simply ensures that this education is consistent with the approach that we as a state have decided to take when it comes to educating our young people on important life decisions and health. The research on the issue of human sexuality education is very clear. Comprehensive sexual education for school-aged youth is the approach recommended by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen and Unplanned Pregnancy. Comprehensive education is effective in delaying the onset of sexual activity among teens. The Oregon Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Society of Adolescent Medicine, and many others support the approach encompassed in statute and updated by House Bill 2509. Colleagues, in our committee, we had a mother of three girls, Angela Goldsmith, come to testify. And she said, young people are faced with a barrage of sexual images and messages on a daily basis, from television to hearsay from their peers. It's important that the images and fallacies be countered with appropriate, accurate information. Please join me in helping our students to make healthy, informed, important life decisions by voting aye on House Bill 2509A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion, Chair recognizes Senator Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be a no vote on this. This is in honor of former Senator Vern Duncan, a mandate on schools. There's indication there's indeterminate fiscal impact. I have 23 small school districts in my area, and every one of them say, tell me, don't send us any more mandates. We'll take care of the issues within our community. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senators. Further discussion? Senator Bonamici, you wish to chair to close.
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2509. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Girard.
Senator Girard, how do you vote?
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monis Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Prozonsky.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr. Telfer.
Aye.
Ferger.
Aye.
Walker.
Senator Walker, how do you vote?
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick. Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
No.
George.
No.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused Carter. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Cruz. Nelson. Starr. Whitsett. 20 ayes.
House Bill 2509, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2753, relating to pawnbrokers.
Chair recognizes Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2753 recognizes and clarifies the regulation of pawnbrokers. Pawnbrokers are businesses that lend money and take a pledge of personal property. There are currently 70 pawnbrokers in Oregon, licensed by the Department of Consumer and Business Services. House Bill 2753A clarifies fees for replacement of pawn tickets and storage of property. House Bill 2753A clarifies regulations on the renewal of pledge loans. It also limits local government fees to not more than $1 per pledge loan for the purpose of establishing and using a system to track pledged articles. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2753. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will recall the roll.
Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Voting no. Atkinson. Ferrioli. Gerard. Cruz. 25 ayes.
House Bill 2753, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2763, relating to procurements of agricultural goods.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm very happy to be carrying Senate Bill 2763A today. Oregon agriculture production totaled nearly $5 billion in 2008. Most of Oregon's agricultural production is sold out of state. Many Oregonians are looking for locally produced agricultural products rather than buying products imported into our state. Oregon's farmers would like to sell their products locally, but they are sometimes underbid by importers. House Bill 2763A helps with the purchase and sale of Oregon's agricultural products in Oregon. House Bill 2763A allows contracting agencies to pay up to 10% more than a lowest bidder for agricultural products produced and transported entirely within Oregon. House Bill 2763 allows a higher percentage to be paid if the purchasing agency finds and explains good cause in a written determination. Good bill should pass.
Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2763. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prezonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Hass. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. 29 ayes.
House Bill 2763, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2963, relating to strikes by certain public attorneys.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you House Bill 2963, and this bill makes a simple change. It just adds deputy district attorneys to the list of employees who are prohibited from striking under our public employee collective bargaining law. There are several good reasons to do this. One is really that public safety and the public interest calls for it. The district attorneys, as prosecutors, are the one who follows a case through from the very beginning when charges are brought until trial or settlement, and to have them go on strike would be disruptive to that process. There also is a question about whether the ethics rules under which they operate allow them to go on strike. So this bill would simply clarify that they cannot strike and instead would be subject to binding interest arbitration, adding them to several categories of employees that have the same provision. So, colleagues, I would urge your aye vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2963. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Przonski. President Courtney. Excused. Burdick. Carter. 28 ayes.
House Bill 2963, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3043, relating to boundary changes under jurisdiction of Metropolitan Service District.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3043 is primarily a housekeeping measure, yet still important. It fixes two technical problems related to the jurisdiction of Metro, which is the regional government in the Portland metro area. The first problem is when the urban growth boundary, otherwise known as the UGB, is expanded and Metro's own jurisdictional boundary does not automatically change to match the new urban limit. This results in a delay in development of land within the UGB and landowners inside the UGB not being able to participate in Metro's elections and decisions. House Bill 3043 eliminates the need for a separate process to extend Metro's jurisdictional boundary and instead will bring the land into Metro's district whenever it comes into the UGB, so this is a streamlining measure. An important point to remember is that House Bill 3043 only applies prospectively to future urban growth boundary changes. Land that currently within the UGB but outside of Metro's jurisdictional boundary are unaffected. The second problem this bill addresses is that current Oregon law gives Metro authority to establish criteria for boundary changes in places where it shouldn't have been given authority, such as in past urban reserves that have been overturned by the courts. However, Oregon law fails to give the authority in instances where Metro should have it, such as in future urban reserves. So this bill fixes this problem by clarifying that Metro only has boundary change authority inside its own boundary and in valid urban reserves. This bill comes to you with unanimous vote from my committee, the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and has no known opposition. I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 3043. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney. Excused. Burdick. Carter. Voting no. George. Girard. Cruz. Whitsett. 24 ayes.
House Bill 3043, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3063, relating to Oregon natural areas.
Chair recognizes Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill, House Bill 3063, came out of your Environment and Natural Resource Committee, came out on a 5-0 vote. Basically, what this is going to do is do a name change for the Natural Heritage Program to the Natural Areas Program. This change will also provide, or I should say this bill also will provide for the Oregon University system to have greater input by other institutions being part of this process. The Oregon State University will be able to participate and administer the Institute for the Natural Resources, which is one of the other changes. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading passage of House Bill 3063. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick. Carter. Voting no. George. Girard. Cruz. Whitsett. 24 ayes.
House Bill 3063. Members of Constable Majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 3256 relates to unlawful employment practices involving the uniformed services.
You recognize Senator Chris Capital Punishment Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. The purpose of House Bill 3256 is to extend to citizen soldiers and veterans the same level of protection that Oregon statutes currently provide to other protected class members and to open the state court system to military victims. There are enormous pressures put upon our reservists and guardsmen who are increasingly absent from their job due to training and deployment. Most employers work very hard to support our troops, but some discrimination does occur in the workplace. No military member should ever be discriminated against in the workplace for serving his or her country. Knowing that their job is secure, National Guard and reservists will be more focused on the mission and able to serve effectively. I encourage your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question arises upon 30 to final passage, House Bill 3256. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Burdick, Carter, 28 ayes.
The House Bill 3256, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
House Bill 2085, relating to notaries public.
Recognize Senator Rick Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. House Bill 2085A updates the types of ID that a notary public may accept. Currently, Oregon law requires that acceptable ID documents contain the person's photograph, signature, and physical description. ID, such as U.S. military ID cards or recently issued passports, believe it or not, don't always meet that criteria. So under House Bill 2085A, any of the following could be presented: a current driver's license or ID card issued by any state, a current passport from the U.S. or a foreign country, a current U.S. military ID card, or a current ID card issued by a federally recognized Indian tribe. It also allows state agencies to keep fees that notaries charge for their services. Right now, notaries at state agencies can't receive fees under the state ethics law. The bill was unanimously supported in committee and has a minimal fiscal impact. I urge an aye vote.
Recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict of interest.
I am a licensed notary or registered notary, certified notary, whatever we are. I'm a notary.
All of that is now on the record. Your discussion. Question arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2085. Those opinion bills passed. The opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Carter, 28 ayes.
House Bill 2085, Council Majority, is cleared to pass. The business of the Senate, according to the SR 8.403 committee referral list, number 117 was distributed to members May 14th, and 118 was distributed May 15th. The referrals recorded in the Journal of the State Report is so ordered. Under announcements, there will be no floor session or committee meetings Monday, May 25th. That is Memorial Day. We will not have floor sessions, and committees will not meet a week from today, Memorial Day. Beginning Tuesday, May 26th, excused absences will be granted only in the case of illness or family emergencies. Please prepare for the possibility of a Saturday floor session starting May 30th. The following deadlines that are coming up. May 20th, the last day to post a work session. May 28th, committees close. Last day to vote out a House bill. Please adjust your schedules to be in attendance every Friday from now until adjournment sine die. In addition, the Speaker and I immediately are establishing a joint Committee on Transportation. The state senators will be Senator Rick Metzger, Senator Bruce Starr, Senator Larry George, Senator Martha Schrader, and Senator Joanne Verger. Further announcements. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Senate Democrats, as soon as we adjourn here, we will start caucus exactly at 12:10.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Mr. President, because Republicans are on time, under budget, and do not have the need for new taxes, we will not be caucusing today.
Yeah. Senator, I will recognize that as an announcement, and also without objection, we will also recognize a portion of it as a remonstrance. Thank you very much. Remember the announcements. Memorial Day, we are not here on Memorial Day. That is, there are no floor sessions and no committees meeting a week from the day of Memorial Day. Senator Vicky Walker, for what purpose do you rise? For an announcement or a remonstrance?
Remonstrance, Mr. President.
Well, let's put it this way. I know what your remonstrance is. I think I've already taken care of it, have I not?
You have, Mr. President.
Thank you.
I hope that's one pass and no more. Thank you.
Well, you know, we announce under announce, remonstrance under remonstrance, and sometimes, hopefully, we don't commingle. For the announcements, the Senate is adjourned.